count it a privilege to be here in such august company, and I really mean that. I was thinking when I was with the bands in the dark past before the performance to sing, I used to gargle with sauerkraut juice. And the Lord brought that back to me this morning. I should get some sauerkraut juice and gargle before I speak. Maybe it'll work. Now, I just want to look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91 and verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. And the Lord will bless the reading of His precious word. I want to read just a couple of more verses in conjunction with that before we proceed. Matthew chapter 6, for just a verse. Verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And just before we leave this verse, just a little alliteration that I have beside this. This is very personal. A period of prayer, a specific place that each one of us must have in privacy, and be mindful of the person, thy Father, and then the promise shall reward thee openly. And we notice how very personal it is. Thou, thy closet, thy door, thy Father shall reward thee openly. And another reading in Isaiah 26, excuse me, and verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. And the Lord will bless the public reading of His precious word. This, I'm sure, is very precious to our hearts, everyone who is a Christian. We don't know who the writer is, but it's quite devotional, and there are a lot of wonderful things in the psalm. We don't know who wrote the psalm. The psalmist himself speaks in verse 9, and he says, because he's assuming that those of us who have read the first 8 verses are going to put those things into practice in our life. And he says, now because you've done this, and there's some very special promises that follow, And then what's lovely about this psalm is in verse 14, God himself speaks in the first person, and he says, because he or she has set his love upon me. And then we have these very special promises. So it's almost like we know there's a secret to life that people do not know about, and that is a personal faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And it is like a secret. Satan keeps it well hidden. But then after we're saved, there are some things that become very precious to us, and it's like a secret. We pray to God that I want to grow, I want to mature, give me mine hinds feet in my high places, show me more of Christ, make me more like Christ, I want to ascend higher on spiritual ground, and so on. And God delights in prayers like that. They're not selfish prayers, because that's the whole point of us being a Christian, is to become more intimately acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ, to have a closer walk with him, and to become more like him. And the more that I am like him, as John the Baptist said, I decrease, I must decrease, and he increases, then more of the graces of our Lord Jesus Christ will be seen in our lives, just going out into this world, like letting our light shine. So here we have one of those psalms. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now the word dwelleth is to remain, to inhabit, to dwell together with a loved one in harmony. Abide is to continue in a settled state. And then it adds to stay all night. I'm very blessed to have great helps. We know they're available, the Greek and the Hebrew, and it's marvelous sometimes to see the word the Holy Spirit used. And it just sometimes it just sort of illuminates the scripture and brings out hidden things. And such is the case here. Now, I saw to stay all night. Luke 6 and 12 came to my mind. He, the Lord Jesus, went out into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. Well, I confess I can't get my mind really around that. I don't know if I could pray 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours. But of course the Lord Jesus could. It would have been marvelous to hear what he spoke to his Father and so on, but he often did that. In Luke 22 and 29, it says in 39, and he came out and went as he was wont, as he was accustomed. He habitually went to the Mount of Olives. And that was his secret place. He had a secret place. He himself went there. Now, I can remember when our son Dennis was in grade 1. Parents, we save up the little things from school, and then with a teary eye look at them when they're all grown up and the innocence and everything. And they'd ask them to list their, like, what's their favorite thing? Well, his favorite thing, it was kind of amusing. He had a friend named Derek, and it was to go play with Derek and have a sleepover. And for Derek to come to my house and have a sleepover. He mentioned sleepover, I don't know, about 6 times in this printing, in this page. That was his favorite thing, a sleepover with my friend. And I thought that was quite nice in looking at this, you know, to the last thing I do before I retire is have a time. Yeah, sometimes I'm very tired, it's a short time, but with the Lord. And then I wake up in the morning and there he is. I awake and he's still with me. I pray. I don't have any scripture for this, but I do pray and ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit to minister to me while I sleep. I don't know if that works or not, but anyway, I pray it just the same, that he might minister to me in my heart, in my mind, as I'm sleeping, more of Christ. To abide in him, it is most necessary, the continuous communion. That's what I've written over this verse 1. Continuous communion. And ideally, that is what God desires us to have. In John 15, 4 and 5, abide in me. Abide in the vine. Abide in me. Now, he's stressing this to we, his children. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And that's a great lesson for us to learn. If one thinks they can do great things for God, I think I can do great things for God. Actually, then I can't do anything for God. I can't. Humble thyself before the Lord. Actually, it's let thyself be humbled before the Lord. Let the Lord humble me. Make me realize, like David, how really small I am, how really weak I am. Psalm 131 is one of my favorites, and that's where David expresses this. And he said to Michael, who berated him because of his enthusiasm over spiritual things when the ark was brought into Jerusalem, and she said, "You made a fool of yourself." He rebuked that woman. And what he said, the words used there are small. You'll see me made smaller than this. David knew his place. He knew the greatness of his God. And he knew his own heart. And he knew his weakness. And he knew he couldn't do one thing without God. In Psalm 15, it says the same thing. A condemned man is vile. I can't quite quote it. But when you look at the structure of that sentence, it's one who esteems themselves to be small in their own eyes. And that's the lesson that we have to learn, and sometimes it hurts. I'm speaking from experience. So we ask God, humble me. Lord, humble me. Hosea 14:8, from me is thy fruit found. From me. That goes in conjunction with John 15. Can't bear any fruit yourself. From me is thy fruit found. Colossians 3:1-2. There, it's our minds. Since then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your mind. That word is to set like cement. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead. I brought you out of the dead world. You're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. A little lad was listening to the mythical story of Pegasus, the winged horse. And then he suddenly exclaimed to his mother, "Pegasus could not travel on the dirt road, could he, Mummy? Because he was made for the sky road. And God has made us for the sky road." Not like caterpillars crawling around. Metamorphosis has taken place, and we've been born again. And it's not a dirt road. That's the earth. We ascend, and we live and walk and talk in a heavenly plane. Prayer, Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. I think that's so vital. I think that's one of the most important lessons that we must learn as a Christian. The necessity of having a place all my own of prayer. Not a hurried prayer. I'm talking now to my friend, my shepherd, my Lord, my God, my Savior, the strength of my life. We could go on and on. And I think I might have mentioned it this week about my wife when I was away for a week, and then I came back and for meetings, and I said, "I love you." And she said, "Well, that's nice, but how come you didn't call me all week if you love me?" And she had a good point for me. If you love me, then why don't you want to talk to me? And people talk, you hear them say, oh, what a joy when the Lord returns. And sometimes I know the life of this Christian, and I'm wondering, well, how come you don't, if it's such a joy to be with Christ, how is it you spend very little time with him here on earth? That's spending time with him. It's like a sacrifice of my time. It's a closet. It's some place. We know the Lord hears our prayers silently. We lift them up. Hannah prayed, with her lips and whispering and so on. We can do that. If I really want to talk to someone, I like to talk to someone and pour out my heart before them. And I don't want anybody to hear me. This is very personal. This is very private. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to have a real heart-to-heart with God. He knows all about me. He knows my thoughts, my failings. Have a real heart-to-heart. I like to take one of the Psalms. I like to read the 5 Psalms a day and get through them every month. Our Christian life is embodied in those Psalms. David, especially David, we all have maybe our favorite character in the Bible. David is mine. He was a man after God's own heart. And there were times he failed, but he was one miserable man of God after he failed. Yes, he was. And he repented deeply, deeply. Psalm 51 tells us the heart of David. Oh, how he loved his God. And he was so sorry in his heart that he ever disappointed his God. A man after God's own heart. So we have a place where we're alone. I have a place at home. I'm speaking a little personally here. I hope you don't mind. I'm 58. I'm getting old, so I feel sometimes I can talk a little bit more, frankly. I have a place. And there's the laundry room is like outside the door. And sometimes my wife will come out. I love my wife more now than I ever did before. I say to her sometimes, why were you out in the laundry room? Why were you doing that? Because I know she's out there in the laundry room. She can hear me, maybe. And I don't want anybody to hear me. This is very private. I'm pouring out my heart to God. Sometimes the Spirit of God speaks to my heart, and I'm so convicted or so taken up with Christ that the tears just flow. That's it. Unashamedly. There's nobody to hear me. It's just God and this man on his knees before God, before my Bible opened up. I don't want anybody to hear me, not even my wife. So she understands that. She understands her husband needs that. I do. Visitation. House to house. The Lord's given me a great love for that. It's so exciting. New, brand new area, especially poor areas. You don't know who's on the other side of that door. They don't know you. But I go there every single time. No, I have been saved since 1980. I was commended in 1984. Why, I don't know. I never would have commended me to the Lord's work. Never. I said, that's the last man I want. But I had no choice. People sometimes say, when did you choose to become a preacher? I said, I didn't choose to become a preacher at all. I didn't. And that's the truth. My choice was, am I going to obey God or not obey God? Because I knew. And I was so comfortable in my life, I was. I had a pretty big job with Irving Oil in the head office and top of the credit. They own all of New Brunswick, the province, the Irvings, wealthy family. And I had a good job, a big job, and getting promoted and raises and the whole thing. And I'd sit there in the morning with my choice gleanings calendar, and they're all reading the newspaper, the other guys talking about the sports, and I'm just quietly reading the God, Job or some. That's the last book I was reading. When the end came, I won't tell that story, but a brother told me in Newfoundland, Alex Stevens, and he said, Wade, look, as far as being commended, that is so personal. That's between the man or the woman and God alone. And it's so personal. And it's like coming under conviction of sin. And it was. And I remember what he said. I was happy. I had service. I went up King Square, passing out tracts, helping out in the assembly, taking my part. I was perfectly content to be where God wanted me to be. But he had other plans for me, and I had to obey. And I don't have any regrets. The elder, Steve Budd, told me, he said, Wade, you don't know what you're getting into. I never forgot that. He was right. God is good. All through it all, God is good. How did I get into that? I don't know. But I did. So, the secret place. Yes, the secret place. Visiting. Visiting with, in conjunction with tent meetings and so on. And I found this to be so vital in La Pro, the area we were this summer and last summer, country area. Oh, I had a secret place. I always find a secret place. Remember, I'm out in these country areas, some little logging road that goes in and turns around. Nobody can see me or hear me. Shut the car down. This is before I go visiting. I'm sometimes there for an hour. It's not just a 15-minute, 10-minute, Lord, I can't in my own strength bless and so on. That's wonderful. God says, no, could you not take time? Could you not take time? Because I believe that's more important than what I'm actually doing, is to pray. And, you know, spiritual power is derived through prayer. We all know that. Spiritual power is not derived through reading the Bible. We get knowledge from the Bible. But spiritual power, like Elijah, he was the man of the mountain. And we have to discipline ourselves. If I want to get into the deeper things of God, I've got to cultivate a secret place. Man went into the phone booth, and it was a little dark, and he's trying to find a number in the phone booth. There's a light up there. He's frustrated, doesn't know how to get the thing on. And the gentleman notices his dilemma, and he walked over to him. He said, sir, you've got to shut the door before the light comes on. Close the door, the phone booth, light comes on. This is similar in our prayer life. Close the door, the light comes on. In thy light shall we see light. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It's to give away from oneself, to bestow. Spoken in reference to obligation. It's like God has put himself in a place of obligation. It's what he's done. Of any kind, he'll give in full render. Because the things that I'm asking God for are right from his word. I'm asking things that I know are in full accordance with the will of God. And sometimes I mention the Psalms, I make the Psalm my own. That's my prayer now. That's from my heart now. I change the wording and everything. Some things aren't applicable. David wanted his enemies all had their heads all cut off. Well, I'll skip down through those couple of verses. But, you know, most of the Psalm, I can relate to what he's talking about. We all can. It's not easy. We all know that. The Christian life isn't like joining the happy gang. And trouble's over. I'm saved. No. Actually, they kind of just begin. Just begin. We're men of God now. We're women of God now. And God's going to strengthen us and teach us and conform us more to the image of his Son. The man, he's the shadow in Isaiah 32:2. He's the shadow. Song of Solomon 2 and 3, I come into the assembly and I sit down under his shadow with great delight. And Hosea 14 and verse number 7, they that dwell under his shadow shall return, they shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. It's almost a paradox. I mean, plants don't flourish in the shadows. You know, they need the sunlight. But this shadow is a different shadow. It's in his presence. And somebody asked an evangelist, what is the more necessary, secret prayer or searching the scripture? He said, well, you tell me, young man, what is the more necessary for a bird, the left wing or the right wing? They're both necessary. Of course, we know that. Well, that's verse 1. And then time's gone. So Maybe next time I come back, if you have me back, maybe we'll look at the rest of it. It's one of my favorite, and I'm sure it is yours too. May God bless us and help us all to understand the importance of that secret place. Gracious Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we draw near to thee and thank thee for this time we've had today, another Lord's Day, to fellowship together, encourage one another, to be in the presence of thy Son, to remember him, and to consider thy precepts together. We ask thy blessing now as we part. We commend all the seed sown during the past 2 weeks to thee, Father, and pray that there be many in a coming day that would come to a saving knowledge of thy beloved Son. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.